You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. The future of work is constantly changing, and so are the ways one should conduct business. Gone are the days when you should just fax an agreement to one party or keep employees based on the strength of compensation. Businesses need to be able to differentiate between business and facilities issues, and that is where business strategy comes in. The facility strategy needs to create the most direct path to any healthy organizational transformation. In her upcoming book, Norm Follows Function, A CEO's Guide to Behavioral Design, available late spring of 2014, the book focuses on identifying the resultant behavior patterns that develop based on the function or dysfunction of a space and helping leaders make the connection between built environment and their business potential for growth and positive change. Christine Woolsey is here today to talk about how businesses can transform their workspaces for the positive. Christine, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
And good to have you as well. So first of all, what is ChristineWoolsey.com for starters?
We help businesses use their facilities in a way that will allow them to transform in response to some of the changes in the workplace that we're seeing because of technology. In essence, what I do is move people and businesses from functioning to excellence. And so it's not often work with barely starting, but once you're up and rolling, then how do you really move to excellence? The analogy I like to use, it's like taking someone who's basically in shape and training them for a triathlon. Today, with the many, many directions that competition appears from, as well as the competition for really good employees, you have to be excellent.
Tell us what an organizational transformation specialist does and the services that you provide.
Many businesses today are finding themselves in a position of being forced to transition or transform. Technology is basically driving four new kinds of behavior. One of them is asynchronous communication, where people it used to be we would have to go to work together in order to work together, and now I can email you in the middle of the night, you can respond in the middle of the day, I don't have to be co-located with you. All of those things are happening, and one of the things that's happening with employees is that because we are able to work from wherever we want to work, the really good employees, they want to work from wherever. And so a lot of businesses are being faced with the pressure to come up with work flex plans and to come up with hot desking options and work shifting and all of these new phrases that the next generation and many of other people want in their workplace. And that actually requires both changes to the organizational structure and the way that you manage people, and also the way that the facilities look and work. So what my company does is we work with businesses. I basically have a five-step process. The first step is we teach. So I teach people about the future of work, and then we look at the behaviors in that future. We do workshops and brainstorming sessions to really look at, well, how does that future affect our industry or our business, and where are our opportunities and threats because of the way that future is going. So that's the first step, which is the teaching. The second step is really creating, and the most important thing for business today is to really understand who they are and what their brand is. And when I say brand, I'm actually not talking about a logo. I'm talking about your identity. What's your story? Are you the hero? Are you the outlaw? Are you the magician? Are you the nice guy? And then really looking at how that brand supports your value proposition as you move into the future of work. And then we move from that teaching and then creating. And then the next step is analyzing. So we're really looking at the organizational structure, at the job descriptions, at the way that teaming is coming together so that we can make sure that all of that stuff is supporting the brand and the value proposition. And then the last step, or second to last step, is implementation, where we will generate plans for training, plans for programs, and plans for revisions to facilities. Sometimes those revisions are as simple as you just need to rearrange the furniture to get more collaboration, and sometimes they're much more extensive, depending on how far your facilities are. But we really find that in order to implement this stuff, you have to think about your people and your programs as well as your facilities. And if you take care of both of those in a way that will support your value proposition, your brand, and your organization, structure, then suddenly your business operations are aligned and you will actually see much better results much faster. Now, the last step is actually to measure, because we don't want to do any of this on a whim. So somewhere in the process, we generally end up sitting down and discussing, what are we going to measure? Are we going to measure profitability? Are we going to measure gross income? Are we going to measure retention? What is the issue your business is having, and how are we going to measure it? And then the last step is to actually measure it and make sure that we've had the results that we set out to get, and that we, and if not, that adjustments to make sure that it gets there.
I understand you have been writing a book. Can you tell us about the thesis of the book and how it will help entrepreneurs?
Well, I came out of an architectural background and then got into business and business strategy. And so one of the famous quotes in architecture is Frank Lloyd Wright said, "Form follows function." And as I was learning to be a young architect and really looking at what I was interested in architecture, I became very interested not so much in the form of the building or the object or what it looked like, but I became interested in how the physical environment actually drives behavior. And I spent several years on the faculty of Arizona State University doing research in that area. How do I design a shopping mall so that you will stay longer and buy more just by virtue of the way that the spaces are laid out? And so when I got into business, it occurred to me that you could actually use some of the same psychology to lay out your office so that your employees would actually behave the way that you needed to behave. And as a business owner, behavior is one of the toughest things to change. So if we can use the physical environment to get people halfway there, then your job as a manager, as a business leader, is that much simpler. So the book actually focuses on, in a very simple and graphic way, presenting some of the research on the impact of the physical environment on human behavior. And I've written it, I know that CEOs don't have much time to sit down and read a book, and so my goal was to make something that could almost be a reference, that can be flipped through over the course of an airplane ride, to really, in some ways, expose CEOs to the idea that there is this tool, which is their own facilities, that they're spending significant funds on, which they may not be utilizing to the best effect.
Today we're joined by Christine Woolsey, business strategist, speaker, and author of her upcoming book, Norm Follows Function, A CEO's Guide to Behavioral Design, available late spring of this year, and she can be followed on Twitter also at Christine Woolsey, and she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Here's a question for you. Who should hire you as a consultant?
The kinds of clients that will really benefit from having our firm involved are either clients that have plateaued, so you've built your business up to a certain point and you just can't figure out how to get to the next level. And then the other kinds are clients that, for whatever reason, have been thrust into needing to transition or transform, that there's new competition in their market, or they're struggling to find 20-year-olds that will perform the way they need to. They have generational issues. The global market is impacting them. There are all kinds of external forces that sometimes will come in and put a business in a position that where they were thriving, they aren't anymore because they simply have not adapted to the changing context of their business. And so that's the kind of customer that's really going to benefit from our services.
If you don't mind, Christine, can you give us an example of a project that you have recently did and how you generated measurable improvement?
Well, I did one interesting project. I did a project for PCA Skin, which is a global company that provides science-based skin care products. And one of the things that happens at PCA Skin is an enormous amount of their staff are actually involved in sales, telephone sales, so outbound and inbound calls. And like everyone else with call industry employees, retention is incredibly difficult. And they were trying to make sure that the level of phone support that their customers were receiving was consistent, although the background experience of their various staff were very different. They might have someone who had worked previously as an esthetician, someone else who had worked previously as a nurse, and so depending on who you got on the phone, you could possibly get different information, and they wanted to kind of normalize that. So those two issues, normalizing the information and working on increasing retention, were top. And then the other thing is, because they had such a high turnover, they had enormous expenses in training and retraining people, so they also wanted to impact that. And what we did was we took a look at some of the anthropological data, which actually tells us that people will form tighter trust bonds in groups of less than 6 to 8 people, so they can make friends in those groups. And we rearranged the cubicles so that they were kind of almost in a circle of 8 people, and we took the backs down so the high walls around the edge, it's open in the center, and so I have this now team of 8 people. Well, a lot of the retention surveys also say that people will stay at work if they have a friend at work. That's one of the key retention factors that people identify. And so by creating these smaller groups, we were able to allow people to be on teams rather than to be an individual call person and thereby have friends at work. And there were a number of other, it turned out it was a good thing for people to overhear the conversations of the people next to them because they were learning, they trained faster, and we had a number of things that we measured. Training time was actually down measurably by 31%, and they were able to grow in the way that they hadn't before, and their global headquarters actually went from 52 people to 84 people within a year. Revenue was up 78.99%. And the number of global distributorships increased by 100%. So we had significant results, and it was the facilities working in conjunction with the programs that also supported those ideas of teaming.
Now, are there currently any trends that you are seeing across the board in offices that one should be aware of to function to their optimal level or open offices?
The big trend in behavior in offices today is we have a lot more collaboration. And so in an older building, what you'll find is a couple of conference rooms. And in companies that are in older buildings, you'll find those conference rooms are almost always booked. You can never get a conference room when you need it. And so what's happening is that a lot of the collaboration that we're seeing is actually informal collaboration. So it's not a meeting that we planned a week in advance. It's that I just need to grab you real quick, so let's have a cup of coffee. So one of the things we're seeing as a trend in facilities is a lot more open office area that's devoted to casual and informal meetings. So that's one trend that we're seeing. Another trend we're seeing is an interest in arranging facilities to try to attract and retain the next generation. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the conflict about open offices, because if I'm talking about a baby boomer, they're not as comfortable giving up their open office or their high-walled cube that they've worked hard to, you know, over the course of their career get to. But if we look at a talented, bright 20-something that might be the person that we want to hire, they absolutely do not want to be in a queue. They want to be sitting at a table with their friends, and when they need to check out and focus, they put on their headphones, and they carry their pictures of their dogs and their friends on Facebook, not in a framed something on the corner of their desk. So we're finding offices revising their facilities to adapt to that next generation as well. The other trend that we're seeing is people becoming more health conscious. And so they want sit-stand desks. They want a way and a place to walk around the office. They want ways to eat more healthy, and so I'm seeing office kitchens becoming more of a place where you can actually make good fresh food, and so the kind of health movement is definitely also impacting office design.
Christine, if you would, how about sharing with our listeners where they can be in touch and also get more information online?
The best way to get information is to go online to christinewoolsey.com, KristineWoolsey.com. And then if you want to call, our phone number is 480-945-3440.
Well, certainly appreciate all the information given here today. Lastly, do you have any closing thoughts or a final tip in conclusion on the topic?
My advice to any entrepreneur is that it is very easy to get caught up in objects or programs. And where you're going to be really successful is when you watch people's behavior and design your office, your organizational structure, your products, your services in response to the way that people are behaving.
Christine, I certainly appreciate your joining us today, especially with the rich insight and information. Come back anytime and have a great day.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Christine Woolsey, business strategist, speaker, and author of her upcoming book, Norm Follows Function, A CEO's Guide to Behavioral Design, available late spring of this year. And the website of reference for contact and information is christinewoolsey.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.